Why don't we open up with a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you for this time to get to be together, to get to worship you, to celebrate you, to learn about you, and to give you glory for all the things that you're doing in our lives. And just ask that you would open our minds and ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said before, welcome to Liberty Vineyard, and welcome on our fifth anniversary Sunday, where we have some special things going on. As I said, I'm just going to give a brief thing, and I want to open us up to some testimonials that we're going to have. But, you know, I was thinking about this Sunday and how to prepare for this, and during the week, most of the time when I'm out and working, I'm out driving around. I spend a lot of time in my car. One of the things I listen to the radio quite a bit in the car, and one of the things that come up a lot are commercials. And in these commercials, there'll be different commercials, maybe for a type of a medicine or some kind of program or something like that. And the people will talk and they'll give a spiel about them. But the thing that always seems to cinch it for me, that really makes me pay attention, is when these commercials have some sort of a testimonial. And the testimonial for a commercial is somebody that'll come on. There's one for a particular medicine that I hear come on quite a bit. And people will come on and talk about how it worked for them. What it did for them, and how in their life, what it changed, how it moved. And you hear all these different people in different walks of life, men and women, young and old, and you hear how it changed and how it worked for them. And then I got to thinking about how, like, when I go on, who's ever been on Amazon? Yeah, pretty much everybody. That's, if you've ever been on Amazon, I don't know about you, but when I buy something on Amazon, before I push the buy button, one of the first things I do is go look at what? The reviews. Why? Why do I care about the reviews? Because I want to know, how did it work for somebody else? How did this function in their life? Did this product make their life any better? Or was it worse? What is it that was different for them? What was their experience? See, that's what a testimonial is. It's somebody saying, here's my personal experience, not just a generic framework, not just the words that they can read themselves, but what was your personal experience with that? And we can give testimonies about all kinds of things. If you're ever in court and you're called to give a testimony, you have to might be a witness about some event. We give testimonies about products or events or vacations or our school or our work and all kinds of different things. But the one testimony that really stands out of all the else in the life of a believer is the testimony of who Jesus is to you. See, Jesus gathers his disciples together one time and he asks them, who do all the people say that I am? And then he kind of gets a little bit closer to him and he says, but who do you say that I am? And see, that's the real question, isn't it? That's the question of the testimony. Who do you say that Jesus is? The only testimony that really matters, the one that matters the most in all of our lives, will be the witness, the evidence, the story of God's work in our lives. And our testimony, your testimony, has a powerful effect, not only here on earth, but also in heaven. And I want to look at those two different effects that it has today before we hear testimonials from individuals. So why don't we start off with the testimony and how it affects things in heaven. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, we're going to look in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to look at two short verses, verse 10 and verse 11. I'm going to just read verse 11 to you first. I'm going a little out of order here. It says in verse 11, and they, and we're going to talk about who they are in a second, have conquered him, and we're going to talk about who him is as well, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now they are all of the saints. All of the people who have now survived through the tribulation, through all of the trials that have happened on the earth and are now in heaven. And him, well, that's what the rest of the verses before that talk about. If you look in verse 9, just before it, it says it was the great dragon thrown down, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, and they call him the deceiver. In the end of verse 10, It says he's called the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night before God. So he's called the accuser and the deceiver, and that he accuses them day and night. But it says in verse 11 that they, the saints, have conquered this man, this Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Now, testimony is really just evidence given. The word there, a lot of times when we look at those root words, we find out it has some hidden meaning that we didn't know. Testimony really means the same thing it means in a court of law today. It's to bring evidence. It's evidence given, one who tells what happened, their version of the story. This is what I know. And so Satan stands day and night before God. He's happening right now before God for us. Day and night, standing before God, accusing, prosecuting in front of God, the righteous judge. What does he say? What kind of things do you think he says to God about us? Well, this person, they're not worthy. They're not good enough. Say things like, they've made mistakes. You've made too many mistakes. You don't deserve this. Well, your response, our response, is the testimony. It's the evidence of not only what God has done in your life, but what Jesus did for you on the cross. It says their response is the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And when God sees that evidence, when he hears the claim of what Jesus has done in your life, nothing the devil can say has any more bearing against you. It says once that God sees that Jesus is standing in your place, you are victorious and you've won the case because of Jesus. See, without Jesus, we have no defense. We are forced to defend ourselves. And here's the hard part. As a lot of the devil's things that he says, they really are tainted with some truth. We have sinned, right? We have made mistakes. We have done things that make us unworthy of God. Those are true. However, when we believe in Jesus, when we take him and accept him as our Lord and Savior, it's like we have asked him to come and be our defense now, our representative before God. And he doesn't just come and talk about us. He comes and stands in the place of us, having already taken all of our sins, having already taken all of this on ourselves. He now stands in the place. And so when God looks, he no longer sees us. He sees Christ in us. And nothing that the devil can say has any more bearing in our lives. But see, trusting Jesus is more, much, much more than just protection, fire insurance, if you will, just trying to save us from a life separation. It's so much more than that. It has the power, our testimony has the power in heaven to stand against the lies that the enemy tells. But it has a power on earth as well. Because trusting in Jesus is not just a one-time event. It is a lifelong, daily walk, everyday encounters, recognizing God's goodness, being thankful for the things that he works out in our life. It's more than just that one-time event, but rather is the beginning of a story that's told individually in each one of our hearts and lives. See, it's the story of a God who loves you, a God who never gave up on you, no matter what. And a God that now calls us to walk with Him, who wants to lead us, and He doesn't promise that it's going to be an easy walk. But He promises it will be good. And see, as such, our testimony is not just a one-time event. That's why it doesn't just say, because of the blood of the Lamb. It's also the word of the testimony of what happened in our lives. What has God worked in us and through us? How have we walked with God? How have we changed? How has He moved us and developed us? How has He transformed us more and more into the likeness of Him? What has God done for you in your life? And our testimony, it's not just a declaration, it's an invitation for others to come and see what the Lord has done. Psalm 66 is a beautiful declaration of this. Psalm 66 declares, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man, turning the sea into dry land, passing through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch over the nations. Let not the rebellious exult. You see, there's a memory in that. What are they talking about? Israel walking through. There's a memory that's part of this is what God has done in the big picture. But if you skip on down, He starts talking. He says, bless the Lord, O our peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who's kept our soul among the living and hasn't let our feet slip. But, O God, You tested us and have tried us as silver is tried, and You brought us into the net and You laid a crushing burden on our backs. This is not sounding too good, is it? And He says, You let men ride over our heads. And we went through fire and we went through water. And yet, You've brought us out to a place of abundance. God doesn't always promise it's easy. He doesn't always promise you'll enjoy it. But He promises it will be good. And if you move on down, you notice He starts with the big picture. Look at what God has done in the world. Look at the works of the Lord. And then He kind of moves it in. And in verse 16, the psalmist writes, come and hear, all you who fear God, what He has done in my soul. See, the psalmist gives us that understanding that it's a personal journey. A journey that we all share, a journey that points to the work of Jesus, the work of God in our hearts and lives, but a unique journey that declares what God has done for me. A journey that resurrects over and over again God's goodness in our life. See, this is what overcomes the accusations of the enemy. It's the work of Jesus on the cross and the work of Jesus in our everyday lives. It says, come and see. See what He's done for me. Just like those product testimonials, just like the reviews. It says, here is how God has worked in me, in my situation, in my life. We are more effective witnesses. Not when we share just the claims in the Bible. Not when we just tell people what they can read for themselves. But when we tell people what God has done for you. What He's done for me. Come and see. These are the testimonies of the saints. They're for encouragement. They're powerful. They're for building up the body. And they're so that we never forget what God has done for us. And so now I want to take some time and I want to invite some people that have that just have some things they want to share about what God has been doing not just in our church, but in their lives, so that you can hear, so that we can hear, and so that we can be encouraged for who God is and how much He loves us.
All right, so I'm going to start with some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 11. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And later in that same chapter, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. You might have heard that psychologists have come up with scales of how to measure stress and calculate risks of illness and how to do all the right things to be safe and healthy. But I don't want to enumerate troubles. As the old song says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Yes, Jesus knows. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus told us, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I do instead want to encourage each one of us to do what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 62. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And the last scripture, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. So no matter what we're going through, Jesus knows, and joy will come. But in the meantime, we trust God and we pour out our hearts to Him and continue to do small things with great love. So even at broken times, maybe especially at broken times, and this is my testimony, I feel like the last 5 years have been a season of a lot of broken times. Even when we're in broken times, broken places, with broken relationships, let's sow seeds of love everywhere we go, in every circumstance, situation, and relationship. In one of our recent prayer newsletters, Nancy encouraged us, and I quote, "We are to practice sowing seeds and watering seeds, continuing to encourage and to pray for one another with full faith the Lord will grow a harvest from the seeds we are planting and watering in the kingdom." And then Paul encouraged us in this month's prayer newsletter, which came out this week. You should have gotten an email on that. Let's reach out and love many people, adults and children, during Lilburn days, that we will give them a refreshing drink of water, that we will pray for them, and that Jesus will refresh them. And that is exactly what God did through this wonderful band of believers yesterday. So raise your hand if you came yesterday to help out at the booth. Look around. We had 23 people. That's more than half the church. Thank you for coming to serve. You all are the servingest everyone can play church I've ever experienced. And I'm thankful for every single one of you. So I want to first give a huge shout out to Margie and Barbara and Teresa and Teresa's mom, Janet, for the amazing prayer squares. They turned out to be the thing that opened more doors of conversation than anything. You know, with especially the children, would you like a prayer square? Nobody can say no to that. You know, an adult comes up, can I pray for you? They're like, no, I'm good. Children, would you like a prayer square? It's amazing. And cups of cool water, and it was so cold in the morning, cups of warm coffee. So today, I also want to give a shout out to Beth and Jim and Mark and Paul for doing such a great job with all the setup and tear down and all that stuff. So I want to tell you some God stories, because God did more than we could possibly have imagined. And these are just a few of the stories I experienced. Continue telling these God stories, because it really encourages one another. We all have troubles. We all have sorrows. Jesus knows. Let's keep on trusting Him. So we prayed with ladies from something called Intertwined Ministry in Clarkston. They sell handmade candles crafted by refugee women. After praying, they were very surprised that we prayed their mission statement almost word for word without us realizing what it is. And it just felt like God was just giving us a kiss of unity in the body of Christ. It's so beautiful when he does that. We prayed with many police officers throughout the day. Lots of us got to pray with the cops. It was really, really fun. And one particularly memorable interaction was with a young Lilburn police officer who was recently married, about to buy a house, and hoping to have children soon with his wife. So let's continue to pray for him, that God would bless him and his wife. And I'm keeping everybody anonymous because we're probably recording this. And I was personally thrilled to see several friends that we hadn't seen for many years. So one couple is again connected in the body of Christ after many years of struggling to see God as loving, and they had been away from church for many, many years. That kind of tied in with some of the testimonies that have already been shared today. Another couple I saw has strayed away from the church for a long time, but they were visibly touched by loving invitations from several of us, along with reassurances that we are all broken and wounded and just trying to be real with one another. Church should be a safe place, and as imperfect as we all are, we try to nurture that kind of environment here. And I was glad to hear, I think Beth, you said something along those lines, come as you are, you'll be loved. And another young friend whom I've known since her parents announced that they were expecting her, and they said, here's her due date. I mean, we go way back. She's now grown up and she's married. I met her new husband, and I was delighted to discover that they're seeking God and trusting Jesus with everything. And so pray for all those. I mean, we all know people who have walked away from the church, de-churched, who have been hurt by the church, et cetera, et cetera. Let's continue to pray that they would feel like they can take that step and be safe and welcome. Whether they come here, whether they come to go to another fellowship, that they would really step in faith, in obedience towards the full and abundant, thriving life in true community as God intended. And so we were also encouraged to see three families who live right in our neighborhood, and one of the families are not yet believers as far as we know. But I was looking for them, and I had this little 14-year-old ROTC kid helping me. I was like, help me find my neighbor because I can't see her. It was like this place was packed. There were thousands of people everywhere. And so when I spotted her, she and her son came running and ran into my arms. It was just, and I was just like, Lord, let's pray that they will run to Jesus that way. It's just so amazing how open people are when we just offer them like a simple thing, like a smile or a hug or something like that. We prayed with a precious woman from the organizing committee of the Lilburn Women's Club who had a blood clot in her leg. And we got to pray for healing for her, and just let's continue to pray for her. We prayed with a heartbroken, precious man whose adult daughter is in jail awaiting trial for doing something. I'm being cryptic here because of the age of the listeners, for doing something in response to chronic abuse from an individual which resulted in his demise. So pray for this precious father's broken heart and for kingdom transformation and mercy for all involved. And finally, right as I was packing up to leave, we got to pray with two precious young people who were 18 and 17 years old, who were staffing one of the booths that was right next to our booth in a health-related business. And after we prayed, the 18-year-old young man said that he felt God's power and he knows he needs to be back in church. He had grown up in the church and gotten away from it, and he was just visibly moved. And so there were so many encouraging things like that, just small things done with great love. Many invitations were extended by everyone who was there. Many prayers were lifted up. So, Lord, let's just close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for all these opportunities that we had to offer cups of cool water, to offer prayer squares, to offer invitations, to offer prayer, to offer encouraging words in the name of Jesus. We just trust you. With the outcome of every single seed sown, we ask that you would bring the increase and that it would be for your glory. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.